Hello, fight fans, and welcome to Corner Advice. I'm your host, Tom Zaffino, breaking down UFC London Aspinall versus Tybura. We have 15 fights on the card. Card starts at noon Eastern, so if you're on the West Coast especially, you're going to want to make sure you get everything in Friday night, DraftKings lineups, all that kind of stuff. Wake up Saturday, make sure you check everything. But yeah, it should be fun. I will be live on the KegCast, which if you search the Sports Keg on YouTube, it'll pop up for you. It's basically a live watch along. We do basically just give out live plays, or we talk about the bets that we've already made. And I've been doing it for about a month now, and it's been fun. There are some very smart guys on there, very good gamblers. And there's been a lot of money made, so I've picked up a few things. I've really enjoyed it. It's fun, it's a good time, it's entertaining, but most importantly, there's a lot of good information on there, and we've been pretty successful overall making some money. So watch that, the KegCast. Like I said, just search the Sports Keg on YouTube and it should pop up for you. He does NASCAR. He goes live for NASCAR races, which we will be talking some NASCAR on the KegCast because there will be races happening as well. So there's a lot of good information if you're an MMA bettor, but also if you're interested in betting NASCAR or if you do bet NASCAR, a lot of good stuff in there. So check that out. But let's just jump right into it. We've got 15 fights. We've got Rafael Filho taking on Daniel Baez. I like Filho here. I was really impressed with him in his debut against Muhammad Makhachev, who was really, you know, a heavy favorite in that fight, was supposed to smoke Filho. That did not happen. It was a very close competitive fight. Filho about ripped Makhachev's leg off with a knee bar in the third round. Somehow Makhachev didn't tap and eventually was able to get out and find a very, very late finish. But overall, I saw a lot from Filho in that fight. He's a tough guy. He's durable. He's very dangerous. Overall, he has a very good, a very solid game. Baez, making his debut, is solid as well. Leg kicks are good. His competition recently has been low. He has fought some tougher guys in the past. He's fought on the Contender Series. Looked pretty good. Could have won. He lost a split decision that really could have went his way. But overall, the recent competition has not been the greatest. But he is winning those fights. He's looking good in those fights. He has heavy hands, very good jab, and he is dangerous. He does have a good amount of subs on his record. So definitely a dangerous fight. But I like Filho here. I thought he proved a lot in his last fight, and I think he gets his first UFC win here, and potentially by sub, but overall, I do think he gets the job done. Our next fight is in the strawweight division. We have Shauna Bannon taking on Bruna Brazil. There's a lot of questions with this fight. Bannon is making her debut. She's an Irish fighter, so she will have some pretty good fan support for sure. Her kickboxing is good. Her top game is pretty solid. Her overall, nothing really jumps off the page when I watch the film. She's solid. She's got some upside, but I haven't seen a lot of power, and I haven't really seen the finishing instincts that you would like to see for somebody coming from the regional scene to the UFC. And Brazil is, she has good size. She's rangy. She has a nice body lock takedown. Her get-ups are good. So if Bannon tries to take her down and does take her down, she will work her way back up to her feet. Overall, I just feel better about Brazil's game. I think she's good everywhere. She fought pretty well against Denise Gomes, who has proven to be an absolute killer. Now, Gomes did get her out of there in the second round, but I thought Brazil had a good showing in that fight up until that point. And I think she gets the job done here. Not really confident if there will be a finish. It's just tough to tell. I really just don't know what to expect from Bannon at this point. But I do think Brazil has the better skill set, the more polished skill set, and she gets the job done. Our next fight is in the lightweight division. We have Chris Duncan taking on Yanal Ashmaz. Ashmaz was one of my bigger dog wins of the year back in March. Last time they were in London. He was, I think, plus 280 and won very quickly with a knockout. So really do root for this guy. And I love the fact that he's a dog in this spot again. I'm not a big Chris Duncan fan. I think from what I've seen, he has power for sure. He takes a lot of damage. His debut in the UFC, he again took damage. He got hurt in the first round. He landed some pretty, I would say, empty takedowns. He got takedowns. He had control time. Did no damage. And was able to win the fight based on the control time. Which I just wasn't impressed. He did it against a kickboxer. It's not really anything to write home about. But Ashmaz has big power. The power that's going to hurt a guy like Chris Duncan. And I think finish him. If he hits Duncan the way he can, he'll get him out of there. But also the wrestling of Ashmaz is solid. His takedown defense is pretty good overall. I mean, he's a smaller guy. He's compact. He's tough to take down. He's tough to hold down. And I just don't think Duncan's game will work. And Ashmaz coming in as an underdog again, I'm more than happy to put my money on him. And I feel pretty confident that he'll get the job done. Our next fight is in the bantamweight division. We have Ketlen Vieira taking on Pani Khianzad. This is this probably won't be the most entertaining fight. The last couple fights for each of these women has basically been an underhooks battle up against the cage. Not too much striking at range. Not really much grappling. But I think Vieira wins this one. When they do separate, when they do strike, Khianzad has been rocked by lesser strikers. And I think she could definitely get hurt by Vieira here. Khianzad also slows down. Not a ton, but she slows down enough for me to think a big, strong fighter like Vieira will wear on her late in the fight. I think it's going to be ugly. I would assume it's going to go over. It's probably going to go to a decision. I haven't bet this yet, but I'd probably bet Vieira over at least 1.5 just to get the number down a little bit. Maybe get her at like minus 110, minus 120. I don't know what that will look like. Obviously, the over 1.5 is probably juiced to the gills, but if you add it in, it's a, you know, same game parlay, whatever. You save a little bit. Not overly confident, obviously. You know, this could definitely just go to a decision. It could definitely be a split decision, and you never know. But overall, I think, gun to my head, I think Vieira wins, and I think the fight goes all three rounds. Our next fight is in the middleweight division. We have Mahmoud Muradov taking on Brian Barberina. This feels like a squash match to me. My prediction is Barberina retires after this fight. He's fighting at 185. I have no idea why he would be doing that other than the fact that his contract, I know he got a new contract a few fights ago, and he at that point was thinking about retiring. He had back issues. He got the new contract. He got a nice win. He's stuck around. But I would assume that contract's pretty close to being done. And it would appear to me that he just doesn't want to cut weight. anymore. So, because there's really no reason for him to be fighting at 185. This isn't, from all I've seen, I don't know when the fight was booked, but it doesn't feel, I don't think it was like a last-minute replacement type deal. It's been booked at least for a month now. But the more I think about it, it just doesn't really add up. And I think Muradov just smashes him. He could wrestle. He could outstrike him. He's going to be the bigger guy. I just don't see the reason why Barbarina would be in this fight. And I think he'll be undersized and outclassed. And Muradov pretty much gets this fight done however he wants to. Muradov coming off a pretty sketchy decision loss that I could argue he won. I mean, I was on his opponent in that fight, and I thought I had lost that one. But the decision went my way, so I wasn't going to cry about it. But really looking back, Muradov, for the most part, out-grappled a grappler. And he's not even really a grappler. He's mostly a striker. But he fought very well in that fight. I feel like he should have won that one. And I feel like he's just going to roll through Barbarina. So probably talked about that fight much longer than I had to, because I do think it's pretty much a squash match. But nothing's ever easy in MMA, so you never know. But I do think Muradov is a very solid play here. I'll probably have something on him inside the distance, and he's definitely a guy that I would put into a parlay. Our next fight is in the heavyweight division. We have Mick Parkin taking on Jamal Pogues. I have no idea why Parkin is an underdog in this fight. I think Pogues is garbage. I don't think he's good at all. He fought in his debut. He won basically by getting empty takedowns, doing no damage, landing no strikes, getting outstruck. Against a guy who can't stop a takedown. Parkin is a much better grappler. He can take a big shot, which I don't even know if he'll have to, because I don't know how much Pogues will even be throwing punches. But I don't think Pogues is very good. I just don't. Parkin, like I said, he can take a punch. He appears to have good grappling. He's dangerous. He can finish anywhere. He's trained with Aspinall in the past. I don't think they train together full time, but they have trained together. The price just seems wrong. The price just seems like it's reversed here. I like Parkin. I already bet him. And yeah, I think he gets the job done. If nothing else, I'm just fading Pogues, because I just don't think he's good at all. Our next fight is in the lightweight division. We have Mark Giacchese taking on Joel Alvarez. Giacchese has fallen in love with the grappling. He landed a lot of takedowns against a couple kickboxers, and then he looked like absolute, I don't even know what he did in his last fight against Michael Johnson. It didn't look good. And it feels like at this point in his career, despite the fact that he is a good striker, it's almost like he wants to just grapple and win a fight that way. And if he can't do that, he's kind of behind the eight ball. Joel Alvarez is very, very dangerous on the ground. Not a guy you're going to want to spam takedowns against, because even if you get the takedowns, you're at risk of getting submitted as soon as that fight hits the ground. Alvarez also throws a lot of elbows off the ground, off his back. He's always active. But before it even gets to the ground, they're standing. And Alvarez, very dangerous kicks, knees, elbows. He is a dangerous striker himself. He's a very big lightweight. He'll have a good size advantage in this fight. I could see him literally just coming out and TKOing Giacchese like we saw him do to Thiago Alves. But overall, I just think there's too much danger everywhere in this fight. for GKC, for me to even think about picking GKC. And so with that said, I'm going with Alvarez. I think he finishes GKC. I would think a sub is probably a good bet, but I'm probably just going to go inside the distance. The line's not that big, and inside the distance prop is going to, it's good enough for me. I don't want to try to predict sub or KO. So I like him inside the distance. I'll probably bet him straight up as well, but I like Joel Alvarez to get the job done. Our next fight is in the welterweight division. We have Danny Roberts taking on Johnny Parsons. Another guy making his debut. Now, this fight, the odds are relatively close. Roberts has not had the greatest of run in the UFC, but he is talented. He is a good striker. And despite the fact that he has been knocked out a few times, he's not a guy that just gets one punch knocked out. He's stood in there. He's taken some big damage. He's fought some really tough guys. Jack Della Maddalena was the last guy that knocked him out, and there's really no shame in that. But overall, I feel like the line in this fight is very close because Roberts has not had a lot of success in the UFC, so it's hard to really put a big number on him. But I do think that if these two are both making their debut, I feel like Roberts would be minus 200. Because the matchup on paper, this should be Roberts all day. So I like it. I'll probably just bet Roberts straight up. I don't know what else I'll do with it. Not overly confident in him to, put up a big DraftKings score. Just because, he hasn't had the best of luck. So I do think he's a much more talented fighter, and Parsons has been off since October of 21. So unless Parsons comes back just like a totally different fighter, I think Roberts gets the job done here. I feel like he could finish him, but I think I'll just bet Roberts straight up, and that'll be that. Our next fight is in the bantamweight division. We have Davy Grant taking on Daniel Marcos. This is a tough one. I like Marcos. His striking's good. He's always moving forward. His kicks are good. His takedown defense, he's very well-rounded. I do like the fact that he's always steadily moving forward. Davy Grant, he's one of those guys that he can win the fight at any point. He can pull a knockout out of the bag. He can pull a submission out of the bag. We've seen it. We saw it in his last fight. He was on his way to a loss against a Sun Tso, grabbed the cage, lost the point, but honestly, grabbing the cage and losing the point got him back to the feet. He drops a Sun Tso, and then he finishes him with a triangle. So that point was like the best thing that could have happened to him, because if he got taken down there instead of grabbing the cage, the fight stays on the ground. He doesn't land the knockdown. He doesn't find the submission. But that's Davy Grant, though. We've seen it over time and time again, and that's why it's tough to pick against him, especially in a dog spot. But I don't know. So I feel like at some point, you can't be getting dropped and coming back in fights. You can't be getting beat up for 2.5 rounds and coming back. Eventually it bites you. Is this the spot? I don't know. I think Marcos does win. I think Marcos is a durable kid. He's going to come forward. He's going to bring the fight. Obviously, that can play into the hands of Davy Grant. Davy Grant could land a big shot. But I'm rolling with Marcos here. This was a tough one for me. Went back and forth on it quite a bit, but I keep landing on Marcos. So that'll be the play. And I just hope that Davy doesn't catch him with something big. Our next fight is in the featherweight division. We have Lerone Murphy taking on Josh Coulibaugh. This is another close one. Coulibaugh is one of those guys that He seems to make fights very interesting. Fights that I feel like he's outclassed in a lot, but he always seems to find a way to make it interesting. And he's had a nice little run here in the UFC. But so is Lerone Murphy. Murphy is still undefeated. You could argue he kind of got lucky to get a decision in his last fight, but again, that was in London. He's a local guy. So here we are. Really what this comes down to is I do think Lerone is a little bit cleaner. I think he has the ability to hurt Coulibaly with his striking, and I also think he could take Coulibaly down. Really the difference between these two at this point, not a ton, because Coulibaly, he is a solid striker. He's always in the fight. He can take a good shot. But I just think Murphy's a little bit of a cleaner fighter, a little bit stronger, has the edge kind of anywhere in the fight goes. And it's in London, so the crowd's going to probably be on his side. Well, they are going to be on his side. So anything he does good, it's going to pop. And that can sway the judges. You know, we've seen it time and time again. It's a close enough fight. Take the hometown guy. And I think he stays undefeated. Our next fight is in the featherweight division. We have Jai Herbert taking on Fares Zaim. I like Jai Herbert. I think his striking is good. His takedown defense is slightly underrated. We did see Renato Moicano just kind of wipe the mat with him, which was absolutely crazy. But Moicano's nasty. His grappling is very good. And Herbert just wasn't ready for that. But I don't think ZM offers that kind of threat. He can wrestle, but it really hasn't always been his path. And I think Jai Herbert's takedown defense is actually pretty solid, despite that Moicano fight. We've seen Herbert. He almost had, now I can't think of his name. He just fought. He's really good. He's going to fight potentially for the featherweight title. Why can't I think of his name? Topuria. That's what it is. He about had Ilia Topuria knocked out. But Topuria is just an animal, and he survived, and then he ended up getting Herbert out of there. But really, the losses for Herbert in the UFC, really tough guys. He showed against Nelson. Nelson tried taking him down over and over again, wasn't able to do it. I think Herbert's striking is very good. I think it's better than ZM. I think overall he's a better fighter. I just think he's had just some tougher fights in the UFC. And I think Herbert gets the job done. Solid dog play. And that's that. Our next fight is in the middleweight division. We have Paul Craig dropping to 185, taking on Andre Muniz. Both guys very good submissions. Both can leave a little bit to be desired on the feet. I would say Muniz is a little bit of a better striker, but Paul Craig just pulls a lot of stuff out of his ass, and I just don't think Muniz... I'm just not high on Muniz. He had a nice little run where he was kind of running through some older guys who have since left the UFC. And then he fought Brendan Allen, who is a younger guy, up and coming, and, you know, a legit middleweight fighter. And he kind of just got... You kind of saw the holes in his game. And he ended up getting submitted in that fight, which is never good for a high-level black belt. So really the way I look at this fight, I looked at the weigh-ins. I was wanted to see what Paul Craig looked like. I thought he looked fine. I watched the interview with him afterwards. He was joking. He seemed to have a lot of energy. It doesn't seem like the weight cut affected him. He said He expects to be 99 kilos, which, doing my Google math, my Google Translate, to pounds, looks like it would be 218 pounds on fight night, which he says is heavier than he normally would be at 205. So that's pretty interesting. Paul Craig is a pretty, he's not a huge guy, but, you know, he's got some good size. So if he's able to get back to 218 healthy, I feel like that'll work in his advantage. Obviously, the chin has been questionable in the past. Mooney's not exactly a killer on the feet, so I'm not necessarily worried about that. When it all comes down to it, I've seen Paul Craig make much better fighters than Mooney's tap, and, you know, in spots where he was supposed to get dominated. You know, so I like Paul Craig here. Long story short, I like Paul Craig. I think he could pull it off. Not the most confidence, but I don't have a lot of confidence in Andre Muniz. And, you know, minus two, whatever he is, not a guy that I really want to back with my money. So, if Muniz gets him out of there, he does. But I'd rather take the dog shot here on Paul Craig. And I've seen it before, and hopefully we see it again on Saturday. Our next fight is in the featherweight division. Man, it just seems like this card just keeps going on and on. We have Nathaniel Wood taking on Andre Feely. Feely's good. He's solid. He's just a solid UFC fighter. He's been around for almost 10 years. He's had some ups. He's had some downs. He's a good gatekeeper kind of guy. But I just think Wood is the more active of the two. Wood could mix in some takedowns. There would be a path there for him. Not that he's going to wrestle the whole fight, but, you know, put up volume on the feet. Feely doesn't put up the most volume. So if you could put up more strikes, land a couple takedowns, you know, that's how you win rounds. And Nathaniel Wood has the skills to do that, and he's moved up to 145. This will be his third fight in the weight class. He's looked very good since doing it, and sometimes you just see that. You see a fighter move up a weight class, they're no longer drained like they used to be. And we saw it with Brando Silva. She's now had three straight finishes as she moved up a weight class. Wood's still young, he's still developing. So there's a lot of upside with him. I think he gets the job done. I do think it probably goes a little ways. It's tough to get Feely out of there. So I will probably be betting, try to make it a little bit of a safer bet, plus, or just go Nathaniel Wood over 1.5 rounds. That's try to get the price down just a little bit. But I do think Nathaniel Wood wins this one. And I just think he's a step ahead. Our next fight, we have made it to the co-main event, is a women's flyweight match between Molly McCann and Julia Stoliarenko. Stoliarenko gets the shit kicked out of her quite often. She has a dangerous armbar. She has won by armbar. That was her most recent win. But generally speaking, she kind of just gets beat up. And she's just not very good. I think this is the UFC put this match together because, you know, Molly McCann is a big name. She's had a lot of big fights in London. Put her in the co-main event spot. The crowd's going to be going crazy. Give her an opponent that she could kind of run through. Now, Stoliarenko is going to be bigger. She is coming down from bantamweight. But I don't know if that's really going to help anything. Usually, when it comes to size differences and reach and all that, it just, you need to be highly skilled to take advantage of that stuff. You can't just be bigger and taller and expect that that's how you're going to win at this level. I think Holly's going to be faster. Holly's going to put the volume into her face. And I think Holly finishes her. I really do. I just think once Holly gets going and she has some success, I don't think Stolyarenko is going to... I don't think she's going to hang in there too long. So, feels like this is the UFC almost saying, here, take this opponent that you can beat. Basically, not a hometown fight, but, you know, hometown crowd type fight. And thank you for fighting Aaron Blanchfield, who's an absolute killer. So, I think Molly rolls in this one. Maybe my confidence is a little bit too high, but I really do think Molly rolls. And that'll bring us to our main event. We have Tom Aspinall taking on Marcin Tybura. The only real red flag here with Aspinall is the fact that he is returning from knee surgery. But Aspinall is really, really good. He's fast. He's strong. His wrestling is good. He's overall, he's kind of like that prototypical heavyweight, you know, big guy, can move well, can knock anybody out, can grapple with anybody. And Tybura is just a little bit slow. He's good. He's a solid heavyweight. He's been in there with some really tough guys. But I just think the hands of Aspinall are going to be a little bit too much. He's going to be just too fast, and at some point he's going to get Tybura out of there. I would think it probably happens early. If it doesn't happen early, then it's interesting, because Tybura has fought late into fights, so we'll see what kind of gas tank Tom Aspinall has. But we really haven't had to see that yet, and I'm not sure we're going to have to see that this time, just because I do think he has a pretty good advantage in the striking department, and I think he could wrestle Tybura if he wanted to, but I really do think the hand speed is going to be a problem, and that kind of speed with that kind of power is tough to overcome. So I think Aspinall wins. I think he finishes this fight within the first or second round. I saw the first round prop is -110 if you're just betting Aspinall to win in that round, not saying KO or sub. Second round, +400. So, the odds would say he should finish this fight in the first round. But, you know, I do think I'll probably be... I think I'll go a couple units round one, and then I'll just do a little sprinkle round two. And if he doesn't get to finish, at that point I might be live betting Tybura. But I think Aspinall gets the job done. I think he does it. I think he does it in the first round, but if he doesn't, I think second round's probably a good bet at +400. So I like Aspinall, obviously, and expect him to get the job done when it comes to DraftKings and all that. Obviously I think he'll put up a big score. But that's it. We've got 15 fights broken down. As always, follow me on Twitter at TommyZ_MMA. I will have my bet card up there. Whatever changes there may be, whatever thoughts I may have, you'll see that all there. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, all the same information. And tune into the KegCast at noon. We'll be live, giving out live plays. Like I said, very good minds in there. Very smart guys. Guys that have been doing this, betting for a living for 20 years. And just great information. It's a fun show. It's entertaining. I enjoy it. And, so tune into that. Search the Sports Keg on YouTube. And until next time, good luck on Saturday.